Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
And a very good afternoon right across the Triple M network. Well, of course, grand final next week and Triple M will be there covering it for you. All the experts on hand and we'll call the game for you. So maybe you're working away, you can't be at home watching the grand final with your mates. The grand final will be live on the Triple M network. And, of course, we are here today thanks to Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future on 1800 848 848. Of course, today we're going to be talking about these two teams that have made it through to the grand final. And in, of course, all of that, we'll take a look at what happened over the weekend. And, of course, what did happen were Manly, I beg your pardon, Melbourne 30 over the Raiders 10, and they just came out of the box at a million miles an hour. Melbourne scored three quick tries, and the rest was history, really. So Melbourne 30, Canberra 10. For Melbourne, that's four grand finals in 5 years. Penrith 20 over South 16, and congratulations to the Panthers, who have lost one game all year on their way to the grand final. So our panel of experts today, we're just waiting on Gordy. We're having some technical trouble. From NRL 360, Paul Kent.
Good afternoon, Anthony.
You enjoyed the football?
Love the football.
Great couple of games.
It's been really interesting, hasn't it?
And first and second, of course, go through to the grand final, which we'll talk more about. And, of course, also a regular on Fox League, NRL 360, and among many, many other great things, James Triceps Hooper. Hello, Hoops.
The King of Cash. How are we?
Fantastic, mate. You enjoyed the weekend?
Been outstanding, hasn't it? Yeah. Melbourne really got the jump on the Raiders Friday night, I must say. That surprised me, the way that they were able to just go crack bang. And then last night, I know you were out there at ANZ Stadium. It was a gripping, enthralling game. As much as there were errors throughout it, it was a fast start, end to end, and it was good footy.
And Hoops, we'll talk. We'll just trying to get Gordy up there. We're still having a couple of technical problems with him, I think, at the moment. We'll see if we can get to Gordy ASAP. But Paul, the Panthers have lost one game all season and a draw. But I mean, if they go through and win next week, we'll look back on this in years to come as a team that lost one game all season. As it reminds me of being a younger bloke, some of those Roosters sides around 74, 75.
Why does it remind you of that?
Well, the Roosters only in 75 only lost a couple of games all season.
But they won the comp. Yeah, the Penrith have got to finish the season off now. It's irrelevant winning this many games and losing only one game. If this is a season where they only lose two games, it's been a fail for them.
As sad as that sounds.
Because, and I think, look, I don't want to sound harsh on the Panthers, but I think that they'd be thinking that themselves. That they've got to finish it off now the right way. They've got to go out with the comp. It's irrelevant how many games they've lost if they lose this weekend. Next weekend, sorry.
And Hoops, I often think that you know a team is really at its peak when they've got some obvious stars in that Penrith side, but then we've seen some blokes come through on the back of them this year. For the sake of the argument, Isaiah Yeo, who's probably might have played himself into a Blues jersey after that game last night. I mean, Isaiah Yeo this year has come on at a million miles an hour.
Yeah, he's been unsung for much of the season, Isaiah Yeo, but I think the big thing with him was his coach, Ivan Cleary, and the new assistant coach out there who's been doing the attack, Trent Barrett, decided to move him into the middle of the field. Previously, we've seen him used on an edge primarily, but I think the shift into the middle of the field has just given him the opportunity, as what happened last night, when he breaks the game open with some light footwork and a fend at the line, and he's got the speed to get through and then set up Dylan Edwards. He's one example. Look, whenever Penrith have had success, Anthony, it's traditionally been off the back of, you know, a good, talented bunch of local juniors and then some other more senior figures around the game that they import into the club. So Isaiah Yeo is one of them. He originally came from the Bush. James Tamo's the skipper of the club, has obviously been there and won a premiership previously with the Cowboys. And then you got this young gun crop of local juniors, Brian Toto, Stephen Crichton, Nathan Cleary, Jerome Luai. And they're exciting to watch.
Aren't they? They're just a great side to watch. And the fullback, he had a great game last night as well. So they get a win here. Now, let's just have a listen to some of the audio coming out of the press conference last night. Obviously, Ivan started with Tyrone May in that game last night. Let's have a listen to what Ivan Cleary had to say about Tyrone starting and Naden starting on the bench.
Tyrone's sort of played a bit of centre this year just through necessity. I just thought, you know, that when he played on that right side,
that was probably our best defensive combination. So I thought that was important in this game, especially at the start of the game. As it turned out, he stayed there the whole game. And that wasn't necessarily going to be the plan, but that's how it worked out. And he also offers another ball playing option. So, yeah, we mix that up in terms of attack.
This is another thing, though, Hoops, isn't it? That they, 14, they've got Tyrone May. And through the course of the year, you've had Spencer Lienu, or you've had Capel, and you've had Moses Leota, and you've had Zane Tedovano. So it's chock-a-block full of great players, this squad.
It's a great roster. They've got tremendous depth, and they get Viliami Kikau back, crucially, to take on this monster Melbourne Storm forward pack. You touched on Naden there. I think Naden's unlucky, but I think clearly the Panthers coaching staff have come up with a game plan where they must have seen something in the opening couple of weeks of the finals where they thought this might be where opposition sides are going to try and target us. And so they've made the big call to bench him. He didn't get on at all.
Mm.
And Tyrone May, look, you can see Nathan Cleary has a tremendous combination with him. And we saw him score off a Nathan kick to put Penrith in the box seat. So I think we'll see Naden most likely named on the bench again for the grand final.
The thing is, look, there's no doubt this Penrith side's got plenty of points in them. And Ivan Cleary would have recognised that, obviously. So what he's tried to do is just try and put a little bit more steel in their defence. Their attack is pretty good. And there's what they gain defensively is more than what they lose offensively, I think. So I think that's why they've gone that way. I think it's a smart decision. I think it's good coaching.
Mm. Let's have a listen to, boys, the Rabbitohs bowed out last night. A gutsy game for them last night. They didn't win, but had a couple of players who didn't finish the game, and they had Corey Allen, I think, was playing injured there at the end. Wayne Bennett talking about the benefit. Well, we all know there's a benefit of having the week off, but this is what the super coach had to say.
Benefit of the week off is huge. It just gives you fresh legs, enthusiasm, all the things that you need out there, because you're just feeling totally different about how you felt the last 20 weeks. You got a week off. So that's what you saw in Brisbane last night. That's what you saw here. I was at the meeting when the decision was made that that wasn't going to happen. We weren't going to have a week off. And there was a reason for that. It was all to do with television. I think the game wanted the week off, but the television didn't. But, I knew then, and I think, Trent Robinson was there as well. We just knew how tough the season was going to be without that week break. It makes such a difference, and it's needed, and I hope we can get back next week. The teams will get a week at least off through the season.
Okay, so he's talking about their, Panthers had the week off because they'd won the minor premiership and then their first finals game. But he's talking about this crammed season that we've had, and not getting a week off through the season. And Kenty, in many ways, at the start of the year, we talked about this season, the Premiers winning it with an asterisk. But I think some of these clubs have had to fight harder than ever.
Oh, I think it's been tougher. Yeah, that's why I think it's, for all the talk, look, this whoever wins on Sunday, they've earned it. They've earned their premiership, well and truly. I'm wondering, though, after watching what's happened in the finals, I've never been a fan of having the week off. I think that an empty weekend right before your finals is not a good look. I don't think the game should really be doing that. But I'm wondering whether we need to look at perhaps staggering the weekends, that first weekend of the finals. So you have, say, two games on one weekend and two games on another.
Right, yeah.
So that artificially gives each other, instead of having four games over that weekend, it gives the teams a week off. I'm wondering, and I don't know the answer to this, whether that weekend off is such an advantage that you can't win if you don't get it.
Wow.
Because we've seen the two teams this year have gone through. I think it was last year the two teams that got the week off went through on the preliminary final weekend. And there is a clear bias there. Now, the alternative argument is that there should be some reward for a long season where you finish in positions one or two or three or four and you didn't go out and win that first game.
Mm.
You earn that right. And that's an advantage that you earn over the rest of the competition. But if there's a belief, and the coaches are the ones, and if you can get them to have an honest conversation, the coaches are the ones that can answer this. If it's too great a task to play through every week and then try and win a grand final, then essentially it's irrelevant having the top eight, and we need to address it. We need to have a look at whether we have, try and find some way. As I said, maybe that first weekend, instead of having four games, two teams play, two games, we have two games and then two games. So that way they each get a week off and we go from there. I think that could work. Like I said, bigger brains than me will come up with the answer there, hopefully. I think it needs to be considered, though.
I reckon this year, more so than any other year, Kenty, as well, the six again and the fact that we've had this interrupted and then condensed season, back-to-back-to-back club football every single weekend, no buys, all that sort of jazz.
Yeah.
You could really see, like, Melbourne on Friday night up at Suncorp Stadium just shot themselves out of a cannon. They were absolutely flying from the get-go, and the Raiders missed the kick.
Look, I think what has been completely overlooked here is the fact that the Raiders got dicked around by the Queensland government.
Yep.
And it was a real disadvantage. Now, look, I haven't spoken to Ricky, so I don't know if the Raiders... Look, I think they would certainly feel this. They won't go public because it just looks like sour grapes.
Yeah.
But when they played the Roosters the week before, they were allowed to fly up early in the day, book into a hotel room, and basically just get the massage and different things just to refresh their bodies a little bit, then go out to the game later in the afternoon. They had planned to do that heading into Queensland, but a comedy of errors saw that the Queensland government would not allow them to do it. So essentially they flew in at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and had to get a bus straight to the ground and then basically sit around at the ground and wait for the game to start. And there's a reason teams travel now before games. There's a reason in a non-COVID world why teams, if they've got to travel in a plane or up the freeway or whatever, they will go the night before a game and they'll book themselves into a hotel because there is a clear fitness benefit to it. There's a clear physical benefit to not traveling on the day. Sitting in a bus or on a plane, cramped up a couple of hours before the game is not an ideal preparation. And yeah, so that was a problem. Now, unfortunately, that's nobody's fault. Well, it's someone of the Queensland government's fault, but the NRL can't help that. Clearly, I think that's the key to it. When you do that and travel on the day, is that you generally have a slow start. It takes a little bit to sort of wake the body up.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's what happened to the Raiders. They were down 24-0 after 20 minutes and it was game over.
I can't believe, Hoops, in this day and age, COVID or no COVID, I can't believe an NRL team in 2020 has to fly in, bus to the airport on game day and play the biggest game of the year.
Yeah, look, it became a big story 48 hours before the game because it emerged that the Queensland government had played funny buggers with the Raiders in relation to their travel schedule, and the requirements that were requested from Canberra were unrealistic and set in an impossible time frame. And I mean, further to that, and obviously
so you
everybody
think it was Canberra's fault.
No, I don't think it was Canberra's fault at all.
You said they're unrealistic. Or
that was what the government requested. They said,
you
need
Canberra.
To submit. Yeah, yes. You need to submit us all this information. La la la. By the close of business today, and it was just an impossible task that the Raiders were never going to be able to get the green light and tick it all off correctly. So, look, everybody understands that it's been a really challenging year because of all the COVID restrictions. But when there's been no COVID cases in Canberra and none in Queensland, I couldn't see why all the red tape, considering that was the circumstance.
Okay, well, boys, that's how we got it this year. We've got the Panthers taking on the Storm in the NRL Grand Final. Like we said, for the Storm, that's their fourth Grand Final appearance in 5 years, and they're due to win one too. So, look, anyway, we hope. I think most people in New South Wales would love to see Penrith. I certainly would love to see the Mountain Men get a Grand Final premiership. It's been a while. But, boys, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We've got plenty to talk about. We've still got to tell you what today's poll is. It's an absolute cracker today. But Gordon Tallis is in our Brisbane studio, and we just can't cross to him now. He just doesn't know how to work the equipment.
Technical difficulties. Have you been playing with the switchboard again, Anthony?
Well, mate, it wasn't me. I did spill a coffee in there earlier on, but it's...
it is wonderful to hear silence from Gordon, though.
Isn't it?
Like, it is.
you know, you get halfway through a sentence and Gordon just...
I know. I'm a bit confused because I'm actually getting halfway through a sentence and realise I'm allowed to go on.
And then you don't know what you're going to say.
I don't know what I'm going to say.
Yeah. So we'll take a break, boys. We do it to for our mates. Thanks at Bryden's Lawyers, 1-800-848-848. They protect, they are experienced, they look after you, Hoops, and your mates over there around Balmain Way.
Very good man, Lee Hadjipantelis.
Yeah, good West Tigers man.
Yep.
Hopefully they won't come ninth next year.
Oh, you want to put the slipper in?
I absolutely.
They didn't come ninth this year.
No, they come 11th. Come ninth, yeah. No, I definitely. If you stick your head up today, I will knock it off. Right, okay. We've got 2 weeks left. Yep. If you stick your head up today,
I'm glad you've raised that, Anthony, because
you already are boyfriends.
No, I've allowed this to roll up until this point in time. Right. But you've made another foolish bet last night.
No, not
and
last
now,
night.
And now all of a sudden you have around the Penrith
Yeah, but it
South
wasn't
Sydney
last
game.
Night.
Well, you've made another foolish bet last week.
That's right.
You're not now, disputing that it was foolish, just when.
As a result.
Yes.
As a result now, what are you going to have to do?
I'm going to sing the Panthers national theme song at the NRL Grand Final NRLW. They might swap me with Amy Shark. She might sing the Panthers thing, and I might sing something else.
Why would you be singing the Panthers theme song at the NRLW?
Well, because they said if you can sing the Panthers theme song at the halftime of the NRLW, this was Glenn Jackson's idea, Jacko.
From the NRL.
Jacko promised me a handful of tickets.
Oh, hang on.
He hasn't given
so
me a handful, so I'm going to sing 2/3 of a song.
There's an envelope involved.
No, well, I was going to hand them out to hand them out to kiddies.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't need a ticket.
Oh,
I don't
please.
Need a ticket.
Please. Where's Miss Portugal next Sunday?
No, she'll be in she'll be in some, you know, she doesn't just go on, she's got to sit in fancy area.
Right, okay.
Miss We've Portugal. Got some audio of all of this. Right. When should we have a listen to that?
Well, this is a serious show today, Hoops,
correct.
Right? This is the grand
final. We're discussing all matters
talking about the grand
league.
Final.
You started to put the slipper in about the West Tigers, who haven't been involved for the last month.
Yeah, that's right.
And so as a result, I'll defend myself.
Yeah, okay. Well, look, let's take a break. You go and wash your face with cold water, and we'll come back and talk about the Melbourne Storm as Triple M rocks the grand final.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it. The grand final special this week, looking at the game next weekend. Of course, Melbourne and Penrith playing in the grand final. Triple M will have that game live and will be, of course, live on air next Sunday as we rock the grand final. Thanks to our friends at Bryden's today. And, of course, all the score updates for Tyre Power. Their footy final sale is on right now. You buy it three and you get one free on selected Kumo and SUV passenger tyres. Paul Kent, James Hooper. And joining us from our Melbourne studio, the Raging Bull Gordy Tallis. Hello, mate.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm not in Melbourne and I'm in Brisbane, but yeah, it's good to be here finally.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, mate, before we go any further, I need to introduce the poll. We have a Maroons poll. We get the poll up every week. And of course, you can give us your thoughts on the Triple M NRL Facebook page or at @MMNRL. Now, the poll today, Gordy, is NRL. What's the biggest thing that's happened in the NRL this year? Has it been the overall influence of Peter Volandis, who led us so well through through the COVID crisis? So is the biggest thing that happened in the NRL this year Peter Volandis? Is it the Panthers getting to the grand final, only losing one game? Or is it the Gold Coast Titans winning five in a row? And before you answer, I just ask you all to remember, when they won five in a row, they beat the Dragons after McGregor got sacked. They beat the Broncos after Seabold was out chasing the Trolls. They beat the Bulldogs when they had 10 players out. I mean, it was massive. So I'm asking you, Gordy, which way would you vote on this?
Oh, that's a tough one. Mm. Maybe St. Peter, I reckon, Volandis.
Yeah.
To get the game back on track.
What, bigger than the Titans?
Yeah, just.
It was a big job, Anthony.
Oh,
you
mate,
had to negotiate with both broadcasters, and it was a tight finish as well. What's in those gummy bears that you've been eating? Because you had Gordon in Melbourne. You had
Did
Manly,
I say Melbourne?
You had Manly playing on Friday night.
Right.
And now you're raising this poll.
Well, we had a taxi club reunion last night, and I went to it. No, I'm just kidding. So, boys, let's talk about a footy now. Melbourne are into their fourth grand final in 5 years. What a success story they have been. Before I open it up for discussion, let me go to some audio of Cameron Smith talking about the success of the Storm in the last decade.
We've been talking over the last couple of weeks and just reflecting on what our organisation has been able to do over the last decade. Like, this is, tonight was our eighth prelim in 10 years. Pretty special effort. How many grand finals is that? How many is that, Frank? In the last 10?
Yeah, it's five.
like we've been in every second grand final for the last 10 years. So I'm just really proud of the way this footy side and our organisation just seems to front up every year. It doesn't matter who pulls on a jersey, who's working in the coaching staff, who's working in the front office. Everyone just turns up every day and does their very best. And it's why we've been able to have sustained success for such a long time.
Well, Gordy, isn't that a great point that he makes? Because we thought, you know, they don't have Billy Slater. That's going to knock them back a rung. And they don't have Cooper Cronk. That's going to knock them back a rung. But they just keep going.
It happens over the time. I think all of us in rugby league have gone, oh, they can't just keep on climbing this mountain. And every single year they just find a way of doing it. You know, Jerome Hughes last year was a fullback. And within 12 months, he's going to be a premiership player. You know, he's playing in a grand final as the number 7. I thought he was absolutely outstanding on Friday night. So it's just typical of Craig Bellamy. You know, I saw his press conference before the game when Kevy interviewed him on Fox, and he just says, I want us to start fast, and I want us to go out there and play harder and longer than the opposition. And they did that. It's just amazing that the simple things that they can just keep on doing. And, you know, it's a 37-year-old man chases back 60-odd metres to make a tackle on Kotrick to save a try. Like, they just all just keep on turning up for each other. Every time you watch the Melbourne Storm over the last 20 years, there's always more purple jerseys in the picture than the other team most of the time.
I really like what Cameron said there about everybody just fronts up, whether it's the, you know, no matter who's on the coaching staff, who pulls a jersey on. But you wonder what the secret is. What's the key? It's got to be something or someone. Yeah, and if it's someone, is it Craig Bellamy or is it Cameron Smith? Like, to Gordon's point, your point too, Anthony, when players have left the club in the past, you think, oh, well, they'll come down a notch or two here. Mm. But I think the two keys have always been clearly Bellamy and Smith. But it's which one? Is it the pair of them together? Or if one goes, is that the end of it? And we might find that answer out fairly soon. Bellamy's round next year. Very long odds to be around for any time longer than that with Melbourne. And then Cameron, we don't know what's happening. So I don't know what that is. I don't know what the secret is. I don't think many teams know.
It seems though, Hoops, the last 48 hours, the narrative's gone from is he going, and now it seems like we're talking like, yeah, well, he is going.
Well, the unknown, Anthony, is whether he may go to another club, may decide to go to either the Gold Coast Titans or the Brisbane Broncos. What we know for sure and certain is that there has been no negotiations whatsoever between Cameron's agent and the Melbourne Storm management at all for the entire course of this season. So if there was going to be any sort of deal done, you would think that they would have had to get the ball rolling. Mm. So that being the case, look, some people think it might depend on the result on next Sunday night. Mm. If they win and he can go out on top, fantastic. Maybe if they don't, he's still got the fire in the belly.
How many people do you genuinely think, Paul, know the answer to this?
One.
Just him.
Oh, he probably spoke to his wife about it. I don't think.
What about bellyache?
No, I don't think he knows.
I reckon bellyache would have to have an idea.
I think he's got his idea, but I don't think Cameron's told him.
Told him, yeah.
That's the difference. I'm fascinated by Hoops' line there that his manager has had not one discussion with the Storm about playing next season. There is a thought around that that he may play somewhere else next year. And that, when I say, where is he going? Is he going into retirement or is he going to another club? The only two clubs really have a chance are the Broncos and Titans. Mm. And I dare say the Titans would be in front. But again, it's all happening at a higher pay grade than where we're at. It's top end conversations.
So, go on. Sorry, Gordy.
It is tough on Cam. You know what I mean? If he was 26, we wouldn't be having this conversation. If he was 30, it's only his age. He is still the best player on the field most times he plays, and he's not slowing down. He doesn't look like he's lost the fire in the belly, and that's what I think so hard. He's got a great player like a franchise player, as they call him these days, in Grant. You know, and you've got Hectic Cheese that's chomping at the bit that is that is a first grade player and a starter at every other club pretty much except for the Melbourne Storm. So he's got those two guys. He is Melbourne Storm, and then he might want to keep on playing, but then he hurts his club by if he hangs around, because then both of those players want to get out. It's a really tough decision, you know. And then every time I sort of think about it and I get asked and I put myself in his shoes, it's a really tough decision, even if you're Melbourne Storm. You know, I don't think there's an easy answer, because I think deep down, if he was really selfish, he would have signed, because I think he's still good enough to play another couple of years.
Why would he have signed if he was really selfish?
Well, because it's all about Cameron and it's not about the club moving forward. And I think that's the thing. I think that he wants the club to stay a powerhouse and he doesn't want the club to lose those two guys. And if he stays, well, he's sacrificing those two guys.
Yeah, but Gordy, I think, you know, I've spoken to people at the club. They're under the impression that even if Cameron goes, next year will be the last year that Brandon Smith and Harry Grant are at the Storm as a pair. One of them, because they both want to play hooker. I know that there has been talk around that Brandon Smith said, look, upgrade my pay scale a little bit and I'll convert and play middles just as a lock. But I think that he wants to be a hooker. He's a New Zealand test hooker. I think that's important to remember. So they both want to play hooker. So they're two young men who are basically aiming for the same position. It's going to be a knock them down, drag them out affair.
Yeah.
But I think only one of them will stay at the Storm, because the other one will just go, you know what, I want to play hooker. Mm. And neither will be short of offers.
Just getting back to what we talked about before, that if Cam Smith retires, stays on, goes to the Gold Coast or the Broncos, Hoops, then we say, well, we don't think anyone would know other than Cam's wife and maybe bellyache, right? Mm. So that would mean if he's planning on going somewhere else, let's say it's the Titans or the Broncos, some people there are holding on to the greatest secret in rugby league, because surely if he's going to one of those clubs, they know by now that he wants to come.
Of course, of course. And, you know, you've got influential figures in the game at both of those clubs, in Mal Meninga's at the Gold Coast Titans and Kevvy Walters is now the head coach at the Brisbane Broncos. And both have had a long and decorated history alongside Cameron working with the Queensland Maroons. So it's not beyond the realms of possibility that they are just keeping their cards super tight. And it may even be like a Wayne Bennett scenario from all those years ago with the Sydney Roosters when he agreed to go to the Sydney Roosters from the Brisbane Broncos initially, all the way back in 2006, that if the news gets out, then all bets are off and it doesn't happen. So that could be the scenario.
Let's have a listen to some audio of Craig Bellamy talking about reception that Cam Smith got at the end, that last game at Suncorp Stadium, where he was cheered off the field. This is Craig Bellamy talking about that.
I think this place got some explaining to do. Got some photos over in front of the fans, and then big fella pulled me up, said we weren't going anywhere.
I just thought it'd be a good idea in case it is, but who knows? You know, but he ain't telling no one. But again, I just think it'd be a nice photo if he does decide, you know, in January to pull the pin. Or wherever. Well, that's what he done in Origin. He's waited 2 weeks. Poor old Kevvy had a heart attack. So again, I just thought it was the right thing to do in case it is his last game at Suncorp. He's had obviously a lot of wonderful memories here. And
is that your last game, Cameron, at Suncorp Stadium?
I can't tell you, Dubbo. I don't know. All I'm worried about this year is trying to play well. Just enjoy watching these young fellas grow as footballers and grow as men. I've been very fortunate in my career to be involved in some really big games with the Storm, and lucky enough to win some premierships along the way. There's a lot of guys starting out their career that haven't had that opportunity yet, and I'm just enjoying their success at the moment and sharing in their journey. So I haven't thought past that.
Hoops, I'll throw this to you, because this isn't unlike when you were working at the Dungog Gazette and you got offered that gig at the Singleton Argus.
Dungog Bugle.
Was it Dungog the Dungog Bugle. Bugle? And then you got offered to go to the Singleton Argus and you didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So you left at the last minute and you took the $168 and went to the Singleton Argus. But we'll get to that later. What do you think Cameron will do?
No one knows.
I know no one knows.
No one knows.
Certainly you are paid to have an opinion. I mean, I don't know how you get yourself dressed in the morning, but you're paid to have an opinion. So what do you think you'll do?
I'd be careful with those sorts of comments because there's mirrors at your house and people would also argue that at times they wonder how you can put your own shoes on. I think that there's a chance that he might play on. And listen to that press conference there where he was asked the question directly, is that your last game at Suncorp Stadium? And he can't give a direct answer. I don't know. I'm not sure yet. I haven't made, you know, so that makes me think, well maybe he has done some sort of deal on the quiet that a number of big name figures in the game are keeping close to their chest.
All right, well, this is the latest figures on Cameron Smith, who is, of course, born in June 1983, 429 games for the Storm, 42 games for Queensland for 26 wins, 56 games for Australia. Just an unbelievable record. When you consider the average first grade player, I think, Paul, you might have said once, might play 38 games or something. This bloke's played more than that for his state and his country.
He's a wonderful player. He's just, look, he's dominated the game. The thing about Cameron, I was talking to someone the other day about it, and when he does retire, whenever that is, and they put together the highlight reel of his career, essentially he's just going to see him lifting trophies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I say this respectfully. He's going to have one of the most unimpressive highlight reels we've ever seen from our champion players. He doesn't run the ball like Greg Inglis or Darren Lockyer. He doesn't come up with, you know, Gordy's big hits and that sort of. There's just nothing there that, like, they spoke on Friday night about that effort to chase from Marcus 60 metres and bring down Cotric. And Cooper Cronk said, quite honestly, that was probably the highlight moment of his career as far as actually finding him physically doing stuff. But he's such a great player because he just dominates the tempo of the game and he controls the game. That's what separates you. But you don't see that. There's the subtlety of him just knowing the right time to kick, the right time to go down the left-hand side of the field or the right-hand side of the field or to make the right call about who he passes to. That's just he's got such a high football intelligence, but you can't show that to people.
You often hear people say, Kenny, that all the champion players have time. And that's the thing with Cameron is that, you know, what you just touched on there, the way that he can control the tempo of the game, and he has an innate understanding when to hit the accelerator and speed things up. And then when his top forwards are starting to, when that big pack starting to blow a little bit and get a little bit weary, then he can just squeeze the brakes a little bit and pull things back.
All right. That's remarkable. And look, it's interesting. Like, the debate now happens, you know, whether he's the greatest ever. He's certainly among the greatest ever. He certainly will be an immortal. I don't know where he stands.
All right, boys.
What do you think, Gordon?
See, a bit like Kenty. You know what I mean? Like, the reason why I think Wally Lewis is the greatest is the biggest bully for New South Wales ever was Mark Geyer, and Wally went and stood right in front of him. The biggest hit I've seen on a test game against the Kiwis was Wally Lewis. The magical pass was Wally Lewis. When Mal Meninga broke his cheekbone, I think Bobby Linder broke his leg, Alan Langer broke his leg, when the troops are down, Wally always delivered, you know, with a dominant, like, highlight type of game, where Cameron is so subtle, like, you know, he beats you without you even knowing type of thing. Yeah, like, he doesn't have to engage you, like, you don't have to get you to, you know, contact him for him to beat you. So it's they're two totally different players. But I think he's going to go down as one of the greatest. But for me, I still put Wally Lewis as the greatest. And I never played with Wally, but I played with Cameron and was his first ever Origin game. But he's certainly in the argument, isn't he? You know, like,
makes
over a
sense.
Couple of schooners, I reckon you would change your mind here and there, you know, like when you're talking about the greatest players, but he's certainly in the fight.
Well, as Kenny said, he'll be an immortal. I don't think that's up for debate. And so he should be. Like, he's been an out-and-out champion. But he can be a polarising figure as well. Like, for all the people in Queensland who love him and the Melbourne Storm core group of rusted-on 20,000 fans or whatever they've got who love him, he can be a polarising figure as well. He's been suspended for big games. There was the whole contract scenario throughout the salary cap scandal. Like, it hasn't all been rainbows and butterflies throughout his career.
But every great player's got that.
Of course.
You know what I mean? And if you're colourblind, well, you love him. Mate, if he was playing for the West Tigers, you would think he's one of the greatest.
Of course. No
ever,
question.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, or Parramatta. Like, Parramatta fans hate him. And you know what? You know, there'd be some Broncos fans that dislike him. They say that he doesn't get booed, mate. He gets booed when he plays for the Storm against the Broncos. Court. But when he's playing for Queensland, there's no booing when Cameron runs out.
Yeah, that's right. You know? Yeah.
So, yeah, look, he is polarising, isn't he? You know, he's... But I just love the way he respects the game, as in, like, the history of it. You know what I mean? Like, you get some of these guys that are blasé and say, well, I don't know, but he knows everybody that's walked before him.
Mm.
And
yeah.
That's what I love about the respect. And, you know, he started as junior level. He'd go watch his dad, and his dad, Wayne, would coach and play, and he just wanted to be around rugby league. And, you know, that's what I love about it.
All right, boys, we're going to take a break. We'll come back with more. Remember, we're talking grand final today, but there are other things going on in rugby league. Dally M's, of course, being one of them. Origin selections being another one of them, which we'll talk about in the course of the afternoon too. With Paul Kent, James Hooper, Gordy Tallis and Maroon, we do it for Bryden's Lawyers. It's Triple M, rocking the finals.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back right across the Triple M network, north through the beautiful Cairns, Port Douglas, down into the Riverina, and all stops in between, all stations in between. We are rocking the NRL. We're doing it for our mates at Bryden's Lawyers. If you need legal advice, 1-800-848-848. Hoops has got them on the speed dial. Now our poll for today, Maroon's poll for today. It's been a big year, 2020, but what has been the biggest thing? Has it been the influence of Peter Volandis? Has it been the Panthers making the grand final with only one loss? Or is it the Gold Coast Titans winning 5 games in a row, having beaten the Dragons when they had 8 players out, and the Dogs when they had 9 players out, and the Broncos when Siebes was off chasing the Trollers? It's been a massive year for the Titans. So which of those three? We're going to get a poll update very shortly. Yes, good.
No, I just got a tweet. Or your operation. Right, the 13th of November.
Oh, right. Mate, now that's not on there, actually. But thanks for your input. Pete Volandis is leading with 58% at the moment. So he's a keen listener to our show, Pete. So
very
thank you.
Very quick smother there from you, Anthony.
I don't
very
want,
very quick smother.
Mate, listen.
Well, you don't want to raise this. This was one of the big was, moments of this national was, radio no, over the no, course of this football
no,
season.
No, don't you get... Look, listen.
No.
You've got to decide who you love. Do you love Kenty or do you love Gordy? You can't have them both.
Oh, I'm with Gordy.
Well, so. I don't know where you are.
Well, we're opposite you.
Well, good. As long as you three are opposite me, yeah. I know I'm onto something.
That's it. We're consistent.
Right. That's it. That's all I want.
Yeah.
I want you three... to just don't ever do anything to support me, okay? Because I wouldn't know what to do with myself.
We supported you at stages of last week.
Oh, you haven't supported me.
We did. We supported you.
We were very supportive when the operation was raised.
Yeah.
We were very supportive there.
No, you weren't.
We were, Anthony. You have our full support. I'll drive you to the hospital.
You threw me under the truck, Paul.
Whatever is needed, Anthony, we will do for you. I'm saying it right now for you.
We're happy to have a fundraiser.
Yep.
Well, we shouldn't need to have a fundraiser. You could dip into the console of your car and pull out a couple of thousand hoops.
Oh, please, mate. There's only one king of cash here, mate.
No, I'm not. Don't go down there again, mate. Don't go down that way again. I told you, mate.
You've been kicking your heels for weeks now because you've got a gig in Adelaide.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're flying you to Adelaide for the Origin.
My friends from Legends of League, the Legends of League podcast, that's right.
And they're going to pay you cash.
No. See, mate, you're going to have to... This is going to become a big issue, this, because I've taken this right to HR now. I've taken this to the top.
Yeah. How do they feel about you going and doing all these little extra cashies on the side?
Well, they're not cashies, mate. I am a trader. I am a sole trader. Mm, I have an ABN.
Really?
I'm happy to show you my books.
Yeah.
Right?
I'll be in Adelaide if you need anybody to interview, if you want to get me up on stage.
Okay. No, I might.
Mate, I come cheap.
Yeah, no, I might. I might do that, Gordon, and thank you very much. Thank you very much. If I can't get Wendell or Finchie or Matty Johns or Andrew or Freddie, I'll give you a call. How about that? Yeah?
No,
it's not funny, mate.
No, I'm just kidding. Let's talk about Origin, boys. Let's talk about Origin. Oh, dear, eh? One more week of this.
You bring it all on yourself, Anthony.
No, I don't, mate.
You had to come up. You couldn't help yourself. The highlight moments of the year, and you've thrown in 5 in a row, and they were legitimate victories.
Yeah,
but it's the first time the club's ever done that.
The way they're carrying on, you'd think that, you know, what do they want, a ticker tape parade down Cavill Avenue?
Anthony,
they won 5 games in a row. Who cares?
You lead with your chin.
You of all people should understand the magnitude of that.
Well, I don't.
Well, because you're the one that made the bet. You thought it was so far-fetched.
Yeah.
That if they won 5 in a row,
Yeah. But I didn't think, they'd have to, you know, when they won the five, that one of the teams would be the Broncos. I mean, the Coromel Cougars could beat the Broncos. When they beat the Doggies, Dean Page just got the sack. When they beat the Dragons, God knows who was in charge.
Okay, all right.
Did they beat Manly?
Well, let this one slide.
We're not playing for the finals, Beth.
How do you explain then, right, the Castle Hill incident, which we haven't raised, right?
Yeah.
Where you said you were going to get breast implants if Parramatta made the top four, and the Eels legitimately finished inside the top four. How are you going to tap dance out of that one?
Are you talking about Castle Hill RSL where trivia's going back Sunday after the grand final? Is that the place you're... Let me just be clear here.
You are shameless.
Some idiot was in the audience.
Yeah, and heard you say it.
No,
and texted me immediately.
Like, if you let me just say this.
In fact, I spoke to that idiot.
Yeah, what is his name?
I will not tell you.
Oh, mate, if I ever see that bloke.
Yeah, because you know why? Because he texted me and said, Maroons just said this, that if Parramatta make top four, you'll get implants. Then what happens is I send you a text message saying, mate, did you just do something stupid? At which point you started walking around to the tables going, do you know Paul Kent?
We've got eyewitnesses that say there was a shakedown. You were going around the tables, bailing blokes up.
Yeah.
And demanding to see their mobile phones.
Bullying people, you were. You were bullying, Anthony.
If you,
I was quite disappointed in you.
You tell this
bloke. He actually said to me, he said, mate, don't text now because he's looking at people checking their phones.
No, because it's trivia. I don't want people on their phones.
Oh, come on.
You tell this bloke, if I ever see him again, I will be going straight into a karate stance. He's barred. He's barred from trivia, whether I'm doing it or he's barred from trivia. He's barred from trivia. Right. Anywhere in Australia. That's
what
the first
sort of
thing.
Stance would that
and
be?
Second thing is, what you think you're in love with Paul Kent. This bloke's so in love with Paul Kent, he texts him while he's at trivia.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah, don't worry about who's in love with Paul Kent.
How about you've lost your audience.
Right. How about we take a listen while we're on this subject? Here's another example of you leading with your chin in relation to these foolish bets.
The only way to spice things up is to have something on the line as far as, you know, the main Rabbitohs fan there and on Triple M and the main Panther fan here on Triple M.
We've got the Mountain Man and the man that bleeds Cardinal and Myrtle. Yep. Anthony Maroon, would you be interested in a bet with the great Mike Guy?
What are we talking, a Chinese feed or a night at Kingsley's or what?
Well, my first instinct is to get some ink.
MJ, are you prepared to get ink if the Panthers lose?
I am.
You're prepared to get a South Sydney tattoo?
Only if Boo Bailey from the Telegraph designs it, because he done the last one that I got on my bum of the rooster.
Okay.
When I lost a bet to Gus. Let's go to the other angle now. What's Big Fella going to offer up?
Well, what about, you know, Thelma and Louise, Hoops and Paul Kent, are always on to me about singing at the grand final again. What if I said that we could make it happen, I would not only sing at the NRL grand final, I would sing the Panthers theme song. And look, people of a mature age, women and men will be throwing their undies at me.
So
you're a jerk.
Yeah. No. Well. So
quick aside there. Yeah. MG's backside must look like a patchwork quilt. Like seriously, he's got a rabbit on one.
Yeah.
Imagine the fighting that would go on there between the bum cheeks. Rabbit on one and a rooster on the other.
I know, mate. It's a great place for tattoos.
And the burrow in the middle.
All right, so that is one. I did make that bet. That is a bet I actually did make. So I will be.
That audio has actually had a little bit chopped out of it because I think there was part of it where you said you weren't prepared to go through with getting a panther tattoo on your buttocks because that would have meant that you couldn't go down to the local nudist beach little Kongwong anymore.
Well, you couldn't go down there with a with a panther tattooed on your bum. They wouldn't think you weren't a local.
Yeah.
You know? Okay. You go down there and...
Probably wouldn't be the first one seen it.
No, exactly.
Are you familiar with this Penrith theme song?
I'm getting very familiar with it. Panthers, to the test. Go the mighty Panthers, you're better than the rest. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. I'm almost glad South lost. No, kidding. I forgot, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get this back on track. And we'll talk a little bit of Origin. As Triple M rocks the finals.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it. It's Triple M rock in the finals and looking specifically at the grand final, which will be on the Triple M network live next week, Melbourne versus Penrith. And today, of course, we've got Gordy Tallis, Paul Kent, James Triceps, Hooper and Maroon. We do it for our mates at Bryden's Lawyers. Melbourne 30, Canberra 10, Penrith 20, South 16. And that's, of course, thanks to our friends at Tyre Power. Origin for a change this year will be at the end of the season, which we are all very much looking forward to. 4th, 11th and 18th of November are the dates. One in Adelaide, one in Brisbane, one in Sydney. And we can add some names, Hoops, to the New South Wales squad now that we've seen a couple more teams bow out.
Yeah, the Blues coach Freddie Fittler has made this official this morning, Anthony. So Jack White, Nick Kotrick, Cody Walker, Damian Cook and also Cameron Murray. Congratulations. They're all in that New South Wales 27-man squad. No Junior Totola, who we saw go off injured last night and didn't return. And of course, Campbell Graham, who was also in contention, was ruled out during the week as a result of a groin injury. So he hasn't been included in the Blues setup either.
Who are you thinking for 5'8 for New South Wales?
I'm thinking Luke Keary.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking Luke Keary. I think Cody Walker's stated as much of a case as he possibly can in career best form and finish the season on fire. But I reckon they might be leaning towards using Cody as a 14.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Luke Keary he hasn't played State of Origin yet, but he's done everything else. I don't think he can underline his own case any better than what he has.
Yeah, I really like Cody Walker at 14. I know you talked to Gordon about when Craig Wynn would come off the bench for New South Wales, how much headaches that caused them back then. I think Cody Walker's a similar type player that once the game settles into a rhythm and a little bit of fatigue starts to take place, and we don't know how that's going to affect Origin this year with the new rules and new interpretations. Certainly it's going to have an impact. I think when Cody Walker comes on at that point, he's just going to be dynamite.
Mm.
The other one who they're looking at as a possible 14 as well is Ryan Papenhuyzen, who, from what we've seen of him this season, his speed and his ability to just break a game open out of nowhere, he'd also be a quality inclusion. But I reckon if you were naming the side right now, I think Cody's probably just slightly ahead of Ryan.
Cody's got a pass in him too. Yeah. Papenhuyzen is still developing. Obviously, he's a wonderful player. And he'd be dynamite coming on against a tired defence with his speed. But Cody Walker can play, I think, a little bit closer to the ruck, create a few more problems. He's got a little bit of second phase play in him.
Mm.
I think he'd be a tremendous asset.
Gordon, what do you think of what the boys are saying? Keary at 5'8", White a centre, and then Cody Walker coming on as a 14, as a sub.
True to have, isn't it? I think Cody Walker's been absolutely outstanding all year, but I think Luke Keary, probably the last couple of years, has earned the right to play Origin footy. He's so good. Look, it's six and one, half a dozen the other. I think one can play ad-lib football and play, and that's sometimes what you need in Origin, but you need both. And they're both going to bring something different to the team, and I think they've both got to be in the 17. Absolutely. So you think Cody would have more of an impact coming off the bench because of the way he plays, and if he gets thrown in with some tired defence, he's just such a natural footy player.
He's lightning, isn't he, Gordon? Like,
yeah.
If he gets half a gap or half an opportunity, he can make something out of nothing. The other big news during the week, Gordy, which I've got to say came a little bit out of left field, was that Mal Meninga is going back into the Queensland bubble. He's already in that bubble now, and he'll be working on the coaching staff alongside Wayne Bennett. What did you think when you heard of that?
I think it's absolutely outstanding. I think it's all hands on deck. I think when it comes to your state, there wouldn't be a player that has played for either New South Wales or Queensland that wouldn't put up their hand to help. And obviously, it's strange times. Wayne Bennett coming back in, I don't know whether he wants to coach him full time. You know, there's talk of Paul Green and, you know, as many big brains in there helping out this young squad. We're going to have a real young, inexperienced squad. It smells a bit like 2001 to me, you know, or the 95 side. Just a heap of young kids coming in, getting their first taste against a red-hot New South Wales side. I think we need all the experience around the camp we can get, and I think it's any time Mal Meninga's in the Queensland Origin camp, there's a presence.
It's interesting, though, isn't it? Because one of Bennett's great talents as an Origin coach was to instill that Queenslander spirit in his team. He did that in 2001, and he's been very good at it. He understands what Origin football is about. He understands probably better than anybody what Origin football means to Queenslanders. So to ask Mal to come in and you know, essentially just provide another layer of that, I think is a real testament to what Meninga can bring. You know, we know what he did during that amazing streak that Queensland did went on, and nobody had a bad word to say about the way he was able to instill that Origin frame of mind in the players. And I think that the pair of them together, my only concern is whether it's almost different styles, whether they can gel. Mal's slightly different from Wayne. Wayne has his way of getting it done. Mal had his way of getting it done. Can they come together? Look, they certainly intend to, but yeah, it'd be interesting.
So what, if I was the Blues and the New South Wales set up, and you know they've obviously got a champion brains trust as well with Freddie Fittler and Greg Alexander and Danny Badiris and Craig Fitzgibbon, but to get two massive personalities and figures in the game, like Wayne and Mal back into the, I'd be looking over the fence a little bit going, this is game on. Like, obviously it's State of Origin, it's always game on, but it just adds another exciting element of intrigue and X factor.
And what it's really done, Hoops, is it's revealed their intent.
Yes,
it they just want showed, to win. Yeah, but it shows you that they're not going to try and finesse their way to a victory. They're not going to go and try and be too clever. They're basically going to pick a team of guys who are just going to go out and bust their backsides, and they're just going to really just drive home the Origin, the Queensland Origin experience, the Queensland Origin expectation. And they're going to pick players who are capable of that, and they're going to play a certain style of game which will give them their best chance of winning, which is just going to be a dog on a bone type fight the whole way through.
And to that point, Candy, it was fascinating as well in the lead-up. Like, already they've shown that they are going to pick players on form, and they've ended a couple of, you know, champion Origin careers. And Josh Maguire had been a mainstay of that team for many, many years and had a lot of success. And Jawa Fengawe was another one who was part of the series last couple of seasons, but hasn't been able to make their 27-man squad. So yeah, they're already making tough decisions.
Yeah, Phil Good always says there's players who play Origin and they're Origin players. And you don't know until you get to Origin what sort of player, in many cases, they are. But certainly that understanding is what I think made Queensland so successful as an Origin team for so long, that they just picked the right players. New South Wales at different times have picked players who on form were probably the best in their position, but just didn't quite handle the intensity of Origin. And that's been throughout New South Wales' 40 years of picking. Queensland have very rarely made that mistake. They have made it a couple of times, but they've quickly corrected it. And I think that once again, the Maroons are going back to the blueprint that made Origin for Queensland.
This is such a story in itself. We touched on it a bit there, Gordy, is Wayne Bennett and Mal Meninga working together. Now, these guys, they're both, I think, policemen before their rugby league careers kicked off.
Yeah,
they're
probably both met in the late 70s,
yeah,
I think.
Well, yeah. And then
I think Mal Meninga walked into the police academy, I think, as a 16 or 17-year-old man, you know, and walked in like because he was a man.
He would have been a big
then.
Unit, yeah.
Yeah. And then you know, I think he'd played under 16s or whatever for Queensland 17s and 18s, and then Wayne Bennett obviously was, you know, really thick with the police and got him over to South with Peter Jackson and the like, and you know they've had a real long relationship. I thought it was fractured a few years ago, but it must be back together, and you know I think that we're pretty lucky that it is.
You raise a fair point there, Gordy. You're right. The 2017 World Cup, there was a little bit of bad blood between these two, to the point where I remember Mal wrote a pretty cutting column for the Courier Mail at the time where, you know, he basically said there is no relationship between Wayne and myself. And, of course, at that stage, Wayne was coaching England and Mal had beat him for the job of being the Kangaroos coach. And they were in the World Cup final as opposites, and, you know, Australia won that match in what was a gripping game.
All right, boys, I've got to take a break, but we might get a chance to come back and talk a little bit more Origin because there's a lot to talk about there. When we do come back, we'll talk about the teams that lost over the weekend, the Raiders, the Rabbitohs. Well, the Raiders lose a few going into 2021. The Rabbitohs got a couple of players on the rise, so we'll have a little bit of a look at that. We'll talk about the Dally M's. I got a great prize for the boys in Maroons Pub Quiz today as well. It's coming up after this break as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.